Welcome to the No Sport Podcast. I'm Oscar Brunton.
And I'm Helen Palmer.
And this is the first No Sport Podcast in the series. The aim of the game here is just to report on what's happening in the orienteering world and talk about things which interest us. Also, hopefully, we'll have some interviews for you and all sorts of other fun and games like competitions and things. If you want to leave a voicemail for us, there's a number which you can call and you can leave questions or comments or anything really, and that is 0131 228 1110. Okay, so the first thing is to go for an international roundup from the World of O website.
Yep, just a few stories from the World of O website. Matthias Mertz, if you remember last year, he won the World Championship long distance with a huge margin, but he hasn't been quite so dominant this year in the World Championships, but he commented that he was really happy with his World Cup final in Switzerland, and even though he got a nosebleed just before the start of the middle distance race and had to breathe just through his mouth, he had a very good run in the typical Swiss forest and was third in the middle and second in the sprint, giving him third overall behind Thierry and Daniel Hubmann. So that was interesting. He got a nosebleed just before his run. Have you ever had a nosebleed?
I've never actually had a nosebleed during the run. Have you?
No. Oh, actually, I think once I was running the Shamrock O-Ringen. It's a really good competition in Ireland. It was kind of near Cork, I think. And I fell on a rock, but that's not the same as getting a nosebleed.
So what happened to him when he got his nosebleed?
I don't know. He said it was just before his start, and then he had a... Well, my German's not that good, but he seemed to be suggesting that he had a lot of dried, congealed blood in his nose. So when he was running, he had to breathe more through his mouth. And I thought that was quite interesting that he managed to still come third.
Yeah, exactly.
Even with this handicap.
What do you reckon would have happened if you got a bee sting as well?
I don't really know what that means. I think I'll move on to the next story. Eva Jiránková, the Czech runner, one of the best Czech runners. Obviously not as good as the Brozkova sisters, but pretty much up there. She got a top 10 in the World Champs sprint this year. She commented that the terrain in Switzerland for the World Cup final was fast and boring. And this is a direct quote now. "I think it's a pity the organisers chose a forest like this when there's such nice terrain in Switzerland." Did you see the map from the competition, Alistair?
I didn't, actually.
Oh, it looked quite nice. I thought it looked like nice southern England burn-up area, but I kind of get her point. She's used to running. She lives in Borlänge in Sweden, so she's probably used to a little bit more technical terrain than that.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that the Czech terrain... is so technical, the terrain that she ran so well in some of the World Champs races, the long distance, well, I guess, in comparison to that Swiss World Cup final.
Yes.
What else? Marianne Anderson. Hausken's been dominating this year.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, with a golden hat at the World Cup final.
Yeah, she's been kicking ass with the bitches.
But Marianne Anderson, if you remember a couple of years ago, she was pushing Simone. She was the only one. Her and Nina Kalpi were like pushing Simone for victories. And remember there were the Norwegian champs up in Tromsø this year. It wasn't Hausken. Hausken wasn't on the podium. Marianne Anderson was winning everything. And she's reported on her website that she's changing clubs now from Nidarlen to Konnerud. She's a smaller club around Drammen, where she's from. It's her old club, but she's been running for Nidarlens for a few years now. So
she's really impressive to watch.
Yeah, like she's an animal.
I've seen her running through like sprint races and just how fast she punches controls, her control flow, the way in which she looks at her map and her general technique at running is just so aggressive and powerful.
Yeah.
It's just something that I think the other girls have problems with sometimes.
Yeah. So do you think she's going to be the one to beat in the Trondheim terrain in a couple of years?
Potentially. If she keeps up on her game, I think she could be the one to beat.
Well, she's going back to Conrad. I've never heard of the club, actually, but apparently they've got a lot of up-and-coming juniors. And she said that she'd had a really good time at Nidarlin, but it was time for a change. So we'll see what happens. Also in the Norwegian theme, Petter Torresen's the new sort of boss after Jørgen Andersen quit. Petter Torresen's been the 5 times world champion, Petter Torresen. He's switched from being the French team coach to now coaching the Norwegian team, and he's appointed Øystein Christensen as his new sort of lead coach or technical coach with the team. Now, Øystein Christensen has a lot of WOC medals himself, from mainly relay and middle distance, I think, but he's only 33. I thought that was strange, but he says, you know, he's had such a good offer and he's going to be coaching now. And
he's not going to compete at all?
Well, I'd presume, I mean, he's been running for Halden. I think maybe also a Finnish club now as well.
Yeah.
But
I believe he quite likes his hunting.
Really?
I was speaking to him once about how he was going out to hunt some elks with his big gun.
Well, it's the hunting season now, is it not?
It is indeed.
So maybe
he's probably hunting hard as we speak.
Okay, the last story I got from World of O was from Mark Lauenstein's website. He said that he's just come back from the World Military Championships. Now, Mark Lauenstein's a dentist, as far as I know, but he said that the Swiss team do their mandatory military days by going on training camps with the team. Basically, he goes on about 30 days worth of training camps with the team each year, and he can actually deduct these 30 days from the 300 days every Swiss male must do as military service in their lifetime. And in return, the Swiss military department demands that they compete at this World Military Championships, and apparently a lot of other countries have a similar setup, so the standard at the World Military Championships is really high. It was the week in Lithuania.
Yeah.
Did you read about it?
I read there was quite a strong Russian contingent that were there.
Yeah, the Russians dominated the whole competition, but the Swiss team was unbelievable. They had Hubmann, Mertz, Lauenstein, and Baptiste Roy, basically the same team as they have in the World Champs.
Yeah.
So for this reason. And Thierry Giorgio, he won the long distance, but he's basically a full-time volunteer. So he must have some kind of special situation.
Oh, sounds impressive. Well, thanks very much, Alan. What's next? Right, well, rumbles from the forums this week. By far the most popular and exciting story has been with regard to the growth of orienteering in schools in Britain, and how can non-school orienteering benefit from this growth? How can we harness more children doing the sport and move them across to participating in orienteering regularly and making it one of their main hobbies? Now, there's quite a lot of different ways of doing this, and it's all up for discussion, so if you can join the thread and give your two cents, that would be great.
Did you do orienteering at school?
I did, very briefly. It was totally different than normal orienteering. It was, think of an area the size of a postage stamp with about 300 kids running around, and it was more about how you could push the other kids out of the way to punch the control card than actually orienteering.
Yeah. So the Invernessian schools orienteering scene, what's that like?
Oh, it's all about Dalcross Wood, quite near the airport, with maybe busloads of children. Just chatting and running around with really no kind of idea about what they should be doing.
Glasgow, where we were living, that had a really good schools orienteering scene run by Terry O'Brien.
Yes.
They had a lot of schools events in local parks and things in Glasgow.
Yeah, Terry O'Brien's done a great job in Glasgow.
Mm.
Yeah. And what's the other one? Another interesting thread is wherecanwego.com. It's a new website for listing event details and lots of different types of coffee mornings, and even the orienteering events are being listed on there, so hopefully we can get some more participants.
Do Did you did you see an event that caught your eye? Did you check out the website?
Well, yeah, I was having a little browse and I thought I'd check what was going on in Wiltshire in the near future. It turns out there's a jigsaw making open day and sale. It's on the 25th of October, and it's that'll be Saturday, and it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Pinckney Park. So, if you're interested in doing a bit of jigsaw making, definitely recommend heading on there. So, I think that's it for the first edition of the Notesport podcast. Also, a new feature of the new Notesport is that you can submit stories yourself. So you can go on and write a story and actually get that on the front page. So if there's anything you want to talk about, if there's anything that's burning a hole in your notepad, please contribute, because nowadays we're really needing new contributors. Okay. Well, thanks for listening. That wraps up the first Notesport podcast. What the orienteering world has been waiting for.
But didn't realise.